The following is our conversation with Richard Sykes, senior consultant at MemoQ. We talk about business services and the business services team and many other amazing stories from MemoQ. Enjoy.
My name is Richard Sykes. I've been in the localization, translation, interpretation industry for many years. I actually started out in the mid-80s doing technical interpretation backstage for theater companies touring in Europe. I didn't realize that at the time that I was getting schooled in localization for software, but I found that I was balancing different cultures, different cultural expectations between the touring companies that came from other countries and what the users, the audiences expected to see when they came into the theater. So that was quite an interesting schooling for later. I actually started into localization per se in the early 90s. So it's now been 34 years. I now work for MemoQ. I've been with MemoQ for 5 years, and I started out as a solution architect for the Americas team, later became the head of the business services team. And now that I'm kind of on my way toward retirement, I've stepped back from that role, and I spend most of my time answering requests for proposals. I like to say I write poetry about how wonderful our software is. The most noteworthy item that is new is the in-country review, or we call it ICR for short. This is a feature that is a simplified user interface of MemoQ Web. It's oriented toward users who are subject matter experts who may not be versed in the usage of translation tools. It also offers the opportunity for the project managers to tailor the capabilities that the reviewers have, because sometimes reviewers tend to review too much. Sometimes they should not have accessibility to term bases and translation memories. Other times they should have access to those linguistic assets. So what the reviewers can see, what the reviewers can do, can be configured and tailored for, and you can create all different kinds of in-country review profiles that are then assigned to the reviewers. This is going to be really useful for companies or organizations that have subject matter experts that are located in different locales from where the localization actually occurs. I actually first got acquainted with in-country review many years ago when I worked for a different company that had sold their CAT tool to a very large religious institution. And they have subject matter experts that are religious scholars all over the world, and sometimes in third world countries where technology standards are much lower than we have in the Western world. And so I realized at that time how important it was for a very simplified and easily accessible interface, which today's browsers offer us. And ICR is right in that ballpark. The thing that's most noteworthy now about ICR, it's feature complete as of the 10.6 version of MemoQ, which was released just a few weeks ago. The next thing that is going to be added to it is the exposure to the APIs, which will be with the 11.0 version of MemoQ that's coming out in the summer. And what that does is it allows interaction with the business management solutions that our customers have together with MemoQ. So the integration, including configuration of ICR, will be able to be done within our partner product, the companion product. So that's a really nice thing about what's coming. I would like to talk a little bit about the business services team. That's the team that I work for. We currently have our head of business services, then myself as a senior consultant. And we have three coding people who are extremely knowledgeable about the APIs. What we do is everything around the core product. We create connectors to third-party applications, for example, SharePoint or Adobe Experience Manager or Jira, any kind of content management solution. These are connectors that use the APIs. We also do some clever utilities that enhance the functionality or expand the functionality over what you get out of the box with MemoQ. So that's what we do. It's a really interesting job because we get to be really creative and we get to solve unique problems on behalf of the customers. And we're a little bit more customer facing than our core development team. As opposed to the core development team, we're settled into the sales organization. So we're kind of a midway point between our customers and the developers. Yeah, generally the use case comes to us through one of our customer success managers who has the responsibility for keeping the customer happy. And the customers say, oh, I'd really like to do that, and we don't know how to do that, or MemoQ doesn't do this. Gosh, isn't there any way we could make that happen? And so a request comes to us that way, and then we go into a discovery process with the customer where we really drill down on the use case, and we try to guide the customer to give us a clear specification of what they really want. and so it's very important that we specify and we deliver then against that specification. So we have a clear way of determining that we've actually successfully delivered what the customer wants and needs. The concept of hub is more to do with how the sales team is organized. We have geographic hubs, for example, the DACH, right? That's the, you know, Germany and the German-speaking areas of Benelux, I think, is in the DACH hub. Then there's the Eastern European hub. There's the Americas hub. The business services is its own hub. There's a gaming hub, which is actually not geographic. It's more topical as opposed to geographic. So we have people that are experts in either the geography or in the needs of the customers. For those specific areas, be the area geographic or also, well, in terms of gaming, that's kind of a special world in and of itself. Yeah. One of our outputs is what we call a term finder, and that was actually my baby. I identified a gap in Qterm, or actually we have two types of term bases within MemoQ. There's Qterm and there's the built-in term base, but neither of those two term bases are oriented toward lay users. They're oriented toward linguists, you know, people who know about cat tools. And we do have customers. We have one customer that has 30,000 employees, and they want to promulgate their terminology throughout the organization. So they need a way for you and I to, if they want to know what a certain term is, they can look it up. And it's browser-based. It's very simple user interface. Again, it also has an optional module in which the users can suggest a term. If they can't find the term they want, they can suggest it, and then that gets routed to a terminologist. It's brandable. You know, we can adopt the customer logo and the color, the look and feel. A user who's an employee at some organization, it would kind of look like it's their own, yeah. But behind the scenes, it interacts with the MemoQ term bases. So that's one of our more popular proactive outputs, and we do have others. This is a new thing that's in our connectors for machine translation. The way the machine translation works for pre-translation is a group of source segments will be lumped together in a package, maybe 10, for example. And that historically, that single package has gone off to the MT engine and then come back, and then the next one goes. And that, so it's a serial process, has been. But the new development is the parallelization, which allows us to make bigger packages with more segments and send them to the machine translation engines together. So a lot more segments get sent at the same time. And not only is that on a document by document basis, the parallelization also supports multiple pre-translation of more than one document at the same time. So we've seen huge time saving. Because pre-translation has been slow because it's been a serial process. Now it's much faster, like 10 times faster. Like for larger documents, enormous time savings in the pre-translation process. And especially for our enterprise customers, that's where it really pays off. So the prerequisite is, of course, that the machine translation engine can absorb multiple requests and doesn't reject requests that come in or interpret the, a whole bunch of parallel requests as a denial of service attack. So the enterprise who has the subscription to the machine translation engine has to have a subscription that will cope with that kind of volume. So that's an important aspect. It's not just our side, it's also the other side that has to be prepared. We did have a customer for whom it was really important to be able to analyze retroactively the amount of correction that reviewers made to machine translated output. And that output was, at the time, there was no built-in function that provided that information. And we found a way to export the underlying MQXLIF file to a holding area, and then an analysis engine that went through the XLIF file in which the correction history is noted, and then produce an output. Now, that feature later got adopted as an output in the MemoQ product. So it was, in a way, it was kind of a prescient development that our core team saw, yeah, that's something that should be in the product. So we sometimes function as a kind of like an early warning solution. I wouldn't be surprised if we get back to my baby. I wouldn't be surprised if someday there's an official core product that replaces the term finder. Let's see, another one. For example, we have a lot of customers that are converting from one product to MemoQ. I won't name the product that they're coming from. But one interesting feature of that product is that it allows searching of all of the translation memories. Now, MemoQ, if you have a project, you can have unlimited translation memories attached to a project, but you wouldn't necessarily have all of your translation memories. And the users of the competitive products that have migrated to MemoQ really miss that feature. So we came up with a browser-based utility that will support searching across all of the translation memories and term bases that are on the MemoQ server. So that's a function that's outside of MemoQ. It's a add-on utility that has proved to be really, really popular with the people that have migrated to MemoQ, because it filled a gap that they used. You know, the use case is a translator, they're translating a document, and they, I know I translated something really similar to this 3 years ago, but I don't remember what translation memory, I don't remember what product or what project it was. I just want to find it in my TM. I don't know what TM it is. And that's what that product does. It supports concordant searching as well across all of the TMs. There is another point about the business services team, because there's a little bit of confusion because there's business services and there's business services team. Now, business services is a wider offering that is also covered off by our solution architects. For example, migration, right? Migration could mean migrating from another product to MemoQ, and the translation memories need to be converted. The export to TMX from product A is not necessarily the same as the TMX that's needed for product B. So the conversion has to happen. There's guidance in terms of the translation memory strategy. You know, migrating from one product to another and migrating the TMs is an ideal opportunity to rethink how one organizes the translation memories to be more efficient and more future oriented. Because translation memories tend to gather dust and get polluted. And so this is the ideal time when you're doing a migration, and our solution architects do that kind of help. That's not done by the business services team necessarily, but it's a business services offering, right? So what the business services team does is coding, and coding utilities using the APIs, making connectors. We also created the back-end conversion utilities, but they might be used by the solution engineers and not by us. Localization is going to grab them and they'll never get out of it. I'm 75 years old and I still can't leave it. I've been trying to retire for about 10 years and I haven't been successful. It's a wonderful, fascinating field, and there's really cool stuff happening. Never stop learning. One thing that keeps me awake at night is trying to figure out what I need to learn, because whatever I've learned most recently, I always need to know something different. If you wanted to spend some time learning one valuable skill, learn how to use regular expressions. It's a super powerful tool for any kind of linguistic analysis. So learn regular expressions. Take some time, learn what's underneath the hood in the XML-based formats like TMX and TBX. You know, look at the files, know how to understand and read the files. It's really important.
This was our conversation with Richard Sykes. I hope you enjoyed it. My name is Eddie Arrieta, CEO at Multilingual Magazine.